5. We're going to look at verse 17 to begin with. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and looking at verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and for your watch, care, and protection for us, your blessings towards us, and for the opportunity to come before you this evening. Thank you again for your word and the freedom we have to publicly worship you and study it and to share your word with others. Help us, Lord, to have attentive hearts this evening. I ask that your spirit would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's actually read again here and go on through verse 20. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. As we go through different people and positions and principles that God commands us in the Word of God to honor, we must come to church leaders. The Bible tells us that we are to give honor to those that are in leadership, in spiritual leadership in our lives, in church leadership particularly. The word elders here is referring to the leaders of the church, not necessarily just older people. It is speaking of those, as it says, who those that are laboring. The laborer is worthy of his reward, they who labor in the word and doctrine. And in the context, Paul was writing to Timothy and to Titus, both in these letters, teaching them how to orchestrate a church, how to train the church to operate properly and autonomously. And so we see the elders here is referring to a pastor or pastors or other church leadership positions. And the Bible tells us that the elders that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. This is very interesting. Now, the word here for honor is actually honorarium, which is to do with a reward. Excuse me. And we see in the next verse, it does refer to, you know, the church is to support their pastor. The church is to, even if they can't support them full-time, they're to help them out, to give willingly for their pastor, that their pastor can put more time into the ministry. Excuse me. But also, it does talk about the respect that is due to a pastor, as we go to verse 19, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So it does talk about respect as well. The elders of the church are worthy of twice as much respect as anybody else in the church because God has put them in that position. We're going to go through a couple different reasons here. But if you have an accusation brought against a pastor or a church leader, it says you're to be very careful to give place to the pastor or to the church leader rather than the one who brings the accusation. If they can bring witnesses, if they can bring in proof that this is what's going on, then you hear them, and then the matter is dealt with properly. But when somebody comes and says, yeah, I've got a difference of opinion with the pastor. The Bible tells us, give the pastor preference. to give the pastor the respect and say to that one that, you know, if there's a difference of opinion and if God has put him in that position, you might should check yours. That's a hard thing to say. I know. But according to the Bible, that should be our position. Every time. Your pastor or any church leader, the Bible says we're to give them twice the honor of anybody else in church. In the respective pay, we're to view their job as worth twice the wage of our own jobs. If we make $10 an hour, we need to have in our minds that the pastor is worth at least $20 an hour. If you make $40 an hour, you should have in your minds that the pastor's job is worth at least $80 an hour. We are to view those that God has put in leadership as worth at least twice what we or anybody else in the church is. The Bible says this very clearly. It's not just a New Testament principle. In the Old Testament, the Levites were not given an inheritance per se. They were given a portion of every tribe's inheritance. And every tribe was given the responsibility of making sure the Levites had homes, had their needs met, had ample ability to plant their crops. And if their crops failed, whatever tribe that that city of Levites was in, that tribe was responsible for meeting the Levites' needs. Why? Because the Levites were the representatives of God to God's people during that age. They were worthy of double honor. Excuse me. Sadly, in the church, in our churches today, our nation, our culture, the pastors are frequently the one who is most ridiculed in the church, most challenged, most fought with, most torn down. Rather than receiving double honor, they receive less than half in most times. And that's largely because we're human. We're going to do that. In our culture, it's run rampant. And now, at best, people view the pastor as basically the same. And at worst, why would you ever want to be a pastor? Is many people's opinion today. It's been around for a long time, the saying that we went home for Sunday dinner and had roast preacher. You know, that's a flippant saying. It's meant to bring a smile, but that ought to make us cry. Because it is so totally opposite of what God says about the man that he has put in the leadership of a church. We need to stop and consider any time we feel like voicing some grudge we have or a difference of opinion or whatever it might be. We need to stop and think twice. Is it valid? Is it necessary? Is it just my pride, myself? When somebody else voices or demonstrates towards you, are we quick to jump on their bandwagon, or are we ready to not just turn away, but to defend our pastor, to defend any church leader, to respond? Do you have witnesses to that? You know, even if you don't argue with them, simply say, do you have witnesses to that? And leave it there if you don't know what to say. And is it something that is against God's word? Is it something that will take this church away from the direction that God wants it to go? If it's not, then let it lie. Not just let it lie, but bury it and leave it there. Because that's what God says to do. Now, why is this so important? Let's look at four quick points here. Why and how a pastor is worthy of double honor. First of all, if you'll turn to Titus, and we're going to read the qualifications for a pastor. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who can say that that did not just describe an honorable man? God's conditions for church leadership, right off the bat, is that they be an honorable man. And if you read through that, and if someone meets those qualifications, excuse me, meets all of those qualifications, that alone should mean they're worth more respect, more honor than the average Christian. Shouldn't it? Even if they're not a pastor, if you meet a Christian that fits all of those qualifications right there, you should respect that person for their pursuit of God, for their following God and receiving His work of grace in their life and acting upon it. Because they've done more and they've seen God do more than most Christians. This is what qualifies someone to be in church leadership, to be a pastor, to, to have that responsibility placed upon them. And if a pastor does not fit what Titus and Timothy were told by Paul here, by the Holy Spirit of God, then they shouldn't have been made pastor. Honestly, they shouldn't have been put in that position. Because they cannot hold the honor that is due the position. The honor that is due the position. Secondly, one who stands in that position answers to God. And they answer to God more than you do. Now, if that's not a reason to give someone deference and respect, I don't know what is. When you go to work, you understand that your boss gets more of the blame, gets more of the reprimand, gets more of he's more of the man where the buck stops here than you are, because he's the boss. He's got to answer for more. It's no different in the church. God has placed church leadership where they are to guide and direct people to God in a greater way, with a greater responsibility than the average Christian. We all have that responsibility, but those who are in leadership have it multiple times over. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So when you're behind the pastor's back, you start bickering and tearing him down and say, "Well, maybe we need a new pastor." You need to stop for a moment. Because in God's eyes, you are doing something that is unprofitable for you. You're tearing down that chain of command, that chain of responsibility that God has put in place. And unless the church feels, unless you feel the calling and the church feels that you have the qualifications to take on that responsibility, don't challenge. Don't challenge on a whim or on a notion what God has put in place and the one who answers to God for you. Yes, we all answer for ourselves, but the pastor also answers for the folks that God has put under him. It is an honorable position. The third is like the second. There is a responsibility. Not only do they answer to God, but there is a responsibility before God with the Word and with life. Turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Those that God has made overseers. God, again, here told Luke to write that we're to take heed to feed the church of God because God purchased it with his own blood. Those who stand in the pulpit, as I am right now, there's a responsibility standing here, that the words that come out of my mouth or any one who preaches, but especially the pastors, especially those who have the authority and have the place of leadership in the church, they have to not only answer to the folks that they're leading them towards God, but they also have to answer to God that the words spoken from this place are the words of God. That responsibility, I don't know how to describe it. Okay? It's a fearful thing. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's a thing that, you know, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians about what their repentance worked in them. I didn't write that passage down and I can't quote it, but how it worked fear, and it worked do you know what that reference is? You all know what I'm talking about. But the things that the repentance ought to work in each one of us. Sorry, I didn't think of this while I was studying, but it's coming before the Word of God to preach it is like that. Or ought to be like that. Ought to have that weight upon it. That you're speaking for God. And that we ought to give the one that God has placed in leadership the respect, the reverence, the honor, because that's what they're doing. Because a lot of us don't pick up our Bibles during the week, do we? A lot of us don't take the time to study it out on our own. And see, God knows that we are sheep that are prone to go astray. And so God places a responsibility on those who preach to convey the word that many believers will never read. That is why God speaks so strongly against those who wrest the word in the biblical sense. That's simply to wrestle with. You take, oh well, I don't like what that says. I'll twist it. It'll tickle ears. It'll feel better. People won't attack me as much if I don't make it sound so harsh. And God says, don't do that. If you're preaching my word, preach my word. Your mouth is opening to speak my words. We don't have a second revelation, but we do have, as it says in back in I believe it's Ezekiel, that when they stood up to preach, they were to give the sense. They read the scriptures and then they gave the sense. That's what preaching is. It's to describe. This is what the Bible's talking about. This is where different parts of the Bible fit together. And God is jealous about His Word, as we looked at a few weeks back, and as Brother Alex did an excellent job of describing and portraying. God is jealous of His Word, and He's jealous of the pulpit, of those who describe what is in His Word. There's a responsibility before God with the Word and with life, with the direction of the lives of the hearers. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 also on this one. Verses 11 and 12. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, church leaders, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the pastor's job, is to help you come to the fullness of Christ. As much like Christ as you can possibly be in this life. Their job before God is to assist you in that. And yet, it's so easy for us to have a squabble with them. To leave because, well, the pastor didn't shake my hand last week. I've heard people say that, literally. But the pastor didn't shake my hand for a month in a row. He must have some bone to pick with me, and he won't say it, so I left the church. Well, that particular church had a couple hundred people, so you can't really expect the guy to shake everybody's hand every week. And I don't know about this person, but if you go out the door opposite of where he's standing every week, then he's not going to get to shake your hand. It wasn't his fault. But that brings a smile. But we can come up with the most ridiculous reasons to have a fault with our pastor in our own hearts. And the devil wants that. Because, as we looked at last week, he's all about tearing away what God says to honor. That is why the pastor or any leader of the church is frequently the most chewed out people in the church. It's because there's a battle there every day. Fourthly, we owe them honor because they are just a man. You say, well, that sounds backwards. We hear we're talking about how they're worth double honor because God has selected them and God has put them in this position and the responsibility and the answer to God. How come we owe them honor? That's my point of a squabble. They're just another man. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verses 6 and 8. 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I do not know of a better, more down-to-earth, easy-to-grasp description of a pastor, of a missionary, of an evangelist. They're just a man. But they're sent from God. So next time the devil gets on your shoulder and says, well, the pastor and I, we can have this difference of opinion because he's just a man. Remember, the Bible says there was a man sent from God. His name was John in this case. But in our case, pardon the familiarity, but his name is Larry Bond. His name is Mike Yant. There was a man sent from God. Maybe you'll find yourself in another church someday. Well, they weren't like the pastor I grew up under. They aren't like the pastor I'm familiar with. There was a man whose name happens to be whatever it might be, but he's sent from God. And that, dear friends, makes all the difference how God looks at him and how you and I ought to look at him. How God listens to him, how you and I ought to listen to him. How God speaks to him, and how you and I ought to speak to him. How God teaches him, and how you and I ought to learn from him. Because the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You know, Paul writes to the Corinthian church that we're to reflect the image of Christ. We're to be a mirror. And as we understand from the scripture, the pastor is in all forms of godliness, there to be a greater, there to be one step up from the rest of the church. So there to be a greater reflection. But with all reflections, it moves, doesn't it? If it's a reflection of the sun, well, it changes during the day as the sun moves through the sky. Or of the moon, it changes through the night as the moon moves through the sky. If it's a piece of glass or a shiny spot on your phone and you're walking down the road and you see this glimmering light beside you and you realize it's bouncing off of you, reflections move by where the item is or where the light is. Last time I checked, people and life doesn't stand still. There's going to be times where you don't see a perfect reflection of Christ. It might be through the pastor because he's just a man. It might be the angle that you are standing at. But it doesn't mean that he is no longer the pastor. No, he's stepped out of the responsibility that God gave him. No, it doesn't mean that he's not worthy of the double honor that God put there. It doesn't mean that God's light isn't shining on him with the same intensity as it was back when you had good fellowship with him. And for whatever reason, that might have fallen apart for a while. Our view our opinion, our perceptions do not change what God has placed on a pastor or any church leader. They're just a man that's sent from God to bear witness of the light that all men through Christ might believe. They're the man. They're the witness. That's a reflection that all men through Christ might believe. So let's put an extra effort as we learn about honor, as we learn about putting the things in place in our character that God wants. Let's put the priority here where God puts it. It is important that we give our pastors, our leaders, spiritual leaders, place, because the Bible says that God does and He expects it of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You that You have not left us to be free roamers, to be wandering about and hoping we blunder into heaven's gate. Lord, You've given us leaders. You've placed Your hand in a particular way on some of us frail beings, that Your name might be glorified and that all men might know that You are the God who sent His Son to purchase mankind with Your own blood, with Your own sacrifice. Help us to remember, Father, that You've placed that responsibility on those over us, and that because this is what You have done, we owe them the honor, respect that comes with it. We thank You, Lord, for blessing us with two excellent men. We pray that You would lift them up and encourage them and help us to support them in Your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.